This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the Live Feed, we get some more of the Boats and Bluegrass experience with Saint Anyway. The eccentric members of the group will tell us about how they came up with their unique name and what they love about the process of creating music. Saint Anyway comes from Duluth and talks about the pros and cons of having a heavy Bob Dylan influence. Get ready for some folk bluegrass fusion with Saint Anyway. You're listening to the Live Feed.
Hi, it's Terry Tunseth with Ryan Mingone at Boats and Bluegrass this Friday evening. It's the 2012 year, I think it's year 7 or 8 for Boats and Bluegrass. And Saint Anyway just got done playing an amazing set that you're going to hear dispersed throughout this interview. So I'm going to go ahead and let the band members introduce themselves.
Tony Peterson, I play banjo.
Jamie Kalstead, play guitar.
Dane Levinsky on bass guitar.
So where did the name Saint Anyway come from?
So it's kind of a long answer, but I will try to shorten it up as best I can. Right away when we started playing as a band, we toured out to Colorado, not knowing what else to do. And we read an article in the newspaper there about a woman whose daughters thought she was a saint. And so they petitioned the Vatican to have her declared officially ordained, whatever you would call it. Of course, they were ignored. And they decided to erect a shrine in their backyard, and the article ends saying they declared her a saint anyway.
Oh, cool.
And we just kind of thought those two words together were pretty powerful, so we snatched them for ourselves.
Yep.
So no religious affiliation whatsoever?
No. We get that a lot, though. You know, it helped us get... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we do get that a lot, but...
So how did you all form? How did you meet and decide to play music together?
We all went to high school together, and so Dane is the oldest, and Jamie and then myself, and we're all 1 year apart. And so we all went to high school, and we were in different bands throughout high school together, and then we dispersed over college. We went different places and decided we can't be without each other for a length of time, so we came back.
Awesome.
Rejoined.
What city did you rejoin in?
Duluth. We all went out. We went east. Jamie and I went east. Dane went to Nashville for a while for college. And, decided to pursue this.
Boomerang effect, right back, huh? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, Duluth has an amazing music scene, so that makes sense. Was it always going to be bluegrass or bluegrass influence? Because I know you're not just straight bluegrass. I mean, there's hints of lots of other things going on there.
Well, we've tried doing other things, and we've tried to be super aggressive and try writing different styles, and it always comes back to sounding just like this. And the songs that we write, we actually think, like, all right, we're going to write it to sound like this. And I know I certainly do that a lot. I try to write something like this, really dirty blues, and it'll always just come back sounding like this.
We have our voices, no matter what. That's not going to change. Well, except for tonight, maybe.
We never introduced an electric. We did introduce electric guitar for a couple of shows, but then it just the amp was so heavy. I have one amp in my life, and I don't want to carry it around. So we just kept acoustic instruments, and then we noticed that it was working, and we kept it.
So when you are writing together, who usually starts?
The songs are written individually, mostly by Tony or Jamie, and then formed in a way that the song is pretty much complete as a structure and as words, and then brought together as a band, and then we all throw our own spin on it and make it a Saint Anyway song as opposed to a Jamie Kalstead or a Tony Peterson song. So it becomes our own at that point, but most of them are fleshed out, at least the points, and they get together and create a new song.
How do you make sure that you can get along with each other if there's a difference of opinion on how something sounds?
Well, it always comes down to, obviously, whoever wrote the song would have the final say in anything like that, but it's mostly, it's a very respectful...
We jar. Some of us push each other more than others.
Right, I like just to get their goat, you know, I don't really... I would say there's a part of the song I don't like, even if I love it, just to mess with them, but no. Yeah, there's discussions about what parts of the song, but usually we know what sounds good to us, and usually the song kind of writes itself after a while. We play it live. Most of the songs, we don't practice as much we play them live, because we had played so many shows that we end up practicing on stage in front of people. And so, yeah, you learn what works. Yeah, exactly. Most of the time.
We're back with Saint Anyway at Boats and Bluegrass 2012. We were just talking about relationships with band members, but we're going to transition now into personal.
So you just got married, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It just makes things slightly more difficult to tour. And other than that, I've been in serious relationships my whole life, and so it's always been, there's no big difference between being married right now. It's basically just like being in a serious relationship. Marriage is the same.
Is he has that ring to flash around.
Yeah.
Keep those vampires away.
Right?
Sterling silver.
Or whatever else.
Yeah, right.
When writing, I'm guessing you probably end up writing about relationships from time to time.
Certainly.
How does the missus feel about that?
Oh, it's so funny. I have to... a lot of the times I do dig deep and write about something that is not related to her at all, so I don't have to lie when I say it's not about you. Because, you know, and then there's you mix things in there that are actually indeed really serious. You know, like things you wouldn't even talk to your wife about, like problems that you have, and it comes out in song, and it's like a very sincere journal. But you can mesh the two things that are fabricated and are real, and so that she won't even know what's real and what's fake.
And she won't even know. And in the
until
back of
she hears the interview. Last chance to retract right. that from
it's hard. As long as the song is danceable, I think that's she likes to dance to them. So.
Is it kind of hard to write about past experiences? And are you ever dredging from a place where you're like, I don't like to think about it, but it would make a really good song?
I think actually that it usually helps to deal with things that have happened in the past, I think, to write about them, just to get them off your chest. I mean, that's been said a million times before, but at least I know that's where I'm coming from a lot of times. We had a really terrible show once, and some people really pissed me off. I went home and wrote a song that I haven't showed these guys yet. Oh, it wasn't you guys that you pissed me off. You guys probably know what I'm talking about, though. No. But sometimes that's a coping mechanism.
What was even the show?
I can't say. It's on radio. I can't say.
You can say there's an undisclosed location.
You want to know, come buy me a beer and we'll talk about it. Unless you're one of the people in question.
Some musicians, it's all about the songwriting process for them. That's what they love to do. Some musicians love to practice and hang out. Some musicians just do it all for the performances. What is the big part for you that you guys do this all for? What makes it all worth it?
It's just something that makes me want to move forward and stay optimistic and happy and feel like I'm doing a good job in life in general. It's just something to work for and obtain and be happy. And that ultimately the whole process just becomes something to do that I feel like I should be doing with my life. So that's the songwriting process. That's the practicing process. It's work, and it gives me meaning. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I feel like I have to be doing. I know this because there are certain times where we've decided very seriously that the band was probably over. And we've done that like two or three times. Not because we were, you know, getting in fights. We hated each other. Yeah. It was so hard logistically to pull it off. But every time we've come back, and that's pretty powerful.
Oh, I just like the performances.
Dane's more interested in the lifestyle.
Interested in the lifestyle.
Music.
No, I love touring. I love going to new places, meeting new people. And this allows me that opportunity. Also, you know, I'm in love with music. I always have been. I always thought or knew that was what I wanted to do. So it works out perfectly. This is exactly what I should be doing.
I've tried other jobs, and I literally cannot do anything, like all of school, or I cannot. I'm a person that no matter what I do, no matter how I sleep or how I eat, I don't start to focus till like 4 p.m. So this is just the only job that makes sense for me. I could be a comedian, or I could be a musician, I suppose.
But I'm not funny.
So.
Oh, wait. Remember, but you. Tony's pushing this new bit on us, but again, it's the beer. You have to buy a beer, and we'll tell you that.
I see where this is going. It all ends up at a beer tent.
Song is called Santa Fe. It's about the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad, which went right behind my house growing up. It's bluegrass-ish.
Silence for years, cursing, complaining, adding the summertime midnight so clear. Well, I still think your song is sincere. I know that I dreamed you once. I was down in a basement room, flowing land and a desert sand. You let me be the bride to your groom. Freight train, let me be the bride to your groom. Leaving southbound 33, from the heartland to the sea. was restless, I couldn't see standing. Now red line, oh red line train, you never really let up the slack. Pushing time and pulling lines with the whole damn city on your back. Subway, whole damn city on your back. All right. Just to hear you scream. Thought it might be the song I lost when I was just 18. Some things never just what they seem. Leaving southbound 91, just another prodigal son. Different than it was before. How can I still dream of you when you're out on the same old shore? Freight train, still you rattle my door.
We're at Boats and Bluegrass 2012 with Saint Anyway. We're going to find out how the band members got involved in music in the first place.
For each of you individually, when did you realize music was something you wanted to do?
Start it off, James.
I didn't always know that it was this kind of music. I knew from when I was really young, but for a while I was doing very different sorts of things. It wasn't only until 5 years ago that I started playing guitar and writing these kind of songs. And I guess when me and Tony started doing it, and it became, wow, this is possible. Like when we went on our first tour, we didn't know what we were doing, but we just kind of did it blindly. And jumping over those hurdles and realizing it's not as difficult as you originally thought, that was like a huge push, I think, for both of us and for all of us. When Dane joined the band, we're like, hey, this is actually something we can do. And after that, it became a lot easier.
I guess at a young age, I knew that music was very important. I played a lot in high school in Cloquet, and then moved immediately to Nashville after high school. To school, I went to Belmont University for just a semester. I came back and went to McNally Smith in St. Paul, and I got a music composition degree, bachelor's degree from there after 4 years. And it was just always, I've always played music. For me, it was always something that I wanted to do. Saint Anyway has given me the opportunity to accomplish those goals.
At some point when I got my first guitar, I remember thinking AC/DC was really cool and Lynyrd Skynyrd was really cool, and I got a guitar and I started practicing a lot, and then by the end of high school I was just found myself in the practice rooms taking what were those classes called, and you just could independent study, I think it was called. I had that and music theory and jazz band was like all I did by the end of high school. So it just kind of started to fall in that path because it's just, it's how my mind works. I think I have like OCD or something, and so I just started to practice a lot of music, and then I got kind of better at it than some of my friends, I guess, because I just practiced, and then I became known as that kid. And then it's just like, you know, then you gain,
say no. No, you're the kid.
Wait, no nickname?
No nickname?
Did you have the nickname another nickname other than that kid?
That kid who plays guitar.
The kid who played guitar behind his head in high school.
We have a lot of nicknames for each other.
Really?
Well,
does that require a beard?
Well,
okay. what have been some of the struggles that you guys have had? You were talking about the band almost, you called it quits, but I mean, what are some of the other independent struggles that you've had and dealt with together?
Aside from like our van breaking down on the side of the road, sub-zero weather in Colorado, I think it's like the overarching thing which we mentioned before, figuring out a way we can balance music with life. I mean, we'd be doing this as a hobby. If we were doing other jobs, we'd be sitting in our basements playing guitar, probably, you know, by ourselves. Wouldn't be as rewarding. But the whole logistical side of things and pulling everything together, the music, I think, is easy. I mean, it's not easy. That's definitely not easy. But it feels so good. It doesn't feel like work. So forcing ourselves to take that from being a hobby to being something else, I think, is the biggest thing for us.
It's really hard to balance family life and the musician life. That's the hardest part of the whole process, I think. It's not like making an album or essentially, being around each other or anything like that, or nerves on stage or whatever. Those things aren't nearly as difficult as actually making it work with like family and money.
Yeah.
It's really hard just to pay the bills a lot of the times. So then you got to gig constantly to pay the bills, or you got to have a part-time job. And then if you have a part-time job, you're stifled by how often you can be away. And then you need to gig constantly to make enough money. And then that means that you're going to be away from home because you can't play Duluth 5 nights a week. So that's the difficulty, is finding where you're going to be at what time and how to do it. At what rate do you tour?
Does that get tiring ever?
I mean,
it's a good problem to have, I guess.
We just get better at it, basically. We get better at balancing everything out. I think we're smarter now than we were before.
So you probably wouldn't consider yourselves straight up bluegrass, but definitely somewhere around that genre, maybe mixed in with folk. How would you say you communicate with the bluegrass genre, or what do you add to it? Where do you stand in relation to bluegrass?
We never really started with bluegrass. I guess those instruments, the instruments that we play are bluegrass instruments, but the music, the style of it, aside from being fast and hard driving, I don't know, we're taking things from a lot of different places. So when people say bluegrass, and we get that a lot, and that's fine, but if they're expecting Rolling in My Sweet Baby's Arms, they will be surprised, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of like music is so, there's so many subgenres now, and it's not what it used to be at all. That music is just like a musical sound now, and if people like it, and if they like the sound of an acoustic guitar, if they like the sound of a banjo, if they like harmony vocals, like these things that people enjoy, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. We never like get yelled at and saying, "You're not bluegrass," or whatever.
I haven't been put off a stage yet.
No, one lady, where was that? You said you ran into that lady, and she said, you were just talking to her at a streetlight or something?
Oh, yeah, oh my gosh, in Montpelier, Vermont. Yeah, she said, you're not really bluegrass then. Because I said, we just have a banjo, a guitar, and a bass guitar trio. And, of course, no dobro, no fiddle. Well, she said, well, you're not really bluegrass then. I said, well, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I hate the sound of banjo.
Oh, I hate banjos. That's the only time that's ever happened to us. I hate banjos.
She didn't actually hear us play. That was I was just making conversation and beautiful woman.
That's great vindication for Dane and I, because we're playing on the street corner.
Yeah, right.
Every passing person comes up and says, I love the banjo.
Exactly, everybody.
So we met the one woman
exactly,
in the world who doesn't.
That was funny.
Were you just shocked?
I was, I didn't.
What
I was
you
like,
say
oh. I said, it's not for everybody. I said, well, it's not for everybody. I don't know.
How would you feel if someone came up to you and just said in your face, like, I don't like what you choose to do with your life?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
It was pretty funny.
I don't know. I get that from my mom sometimes. Is there a thing?
Well, yeah.
Do we want to go to the parent thing or...
I taught the weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears that I cried for that river are gonna fudge you, big,
big woman.
And I'm gonna sit right here until I die. Well, I met her accidentally in St. Paul,
Minnesota,
and it tore me up every time I heard her drawl, southern drawl. I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport. I'll follow you, big river, when you call. Call me Tony. Well, you took me to St. Louis later on down the river. A freighter said she's been here, but she's gone.
Boy, she's gone.
I found her trail in Memphis, but she just walked up the bluff, raised a few eyebrows, and she went on down along. Now you batter down by Baton Rouge, River Queen, rolling on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans. Hey, New Orleans. Go on, I've had enough. Toss my blues down in the Gulf. She loves you, Big River, more than me. Yeah, now I taught the weeping willow how to cry, cry, cry. And I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears that I cried for that woman, they're gonna flood you, Big River, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. Ah! All right,
hey,
thank
Jay
you very
Levinsky.
Much.
He plays low, he sings low, swings low.
We're with Saint Anyway at Boats and Bluegrass. We're going to talk about uncomfortable situations.
Embarrassing moments, have they happened?
Well, tonight we tried a new song that we haven't played in about a month, or longer than a month, and we had more time on stage than we expected, and that was that rambling bit of forgotten lyrics that became habada, 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 habada. And, you know, it still worked, but yeah, I guess that's embarrassing. There's been lots of embarrassing moments.
John Lennon did that, so don't worry about it too much.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was notoriously bad with lyrics.
Sometimes.
But eventually, I mean, I found as a performer, you guys probably do too, I don't get nerves on stage anymore. I used to when I was younger, when I was in high school. But I've made so many mistakes in front of lots of people at this point that it doesn't bother me anymore.
I think for me, what I would be trying to think is, how do I get my way out of this? Like, exactly. What is the next thing I can do?
And people love that too. Yeah, people love a good dismount.
We lean on each other heavily. It's been really great. There's been so many times in this band in particular where things have gone wrong that if it were maybe a normal band with, like, a leader, you would be screwed and look back and they'd be like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, Bruce Springsteen. Like, you've messed up. But here, we all can, like, lean on each other heavily and someone will, like, go, yeah, this is the line, or they'll do a solo or something. And it's a really organic process that happens.
I think that's because you guys know each other so well, too, and there's that trust there, and you know that everybody's got each other's back.
Certainly.
Yeah. Unless you're purposely pulling a prank.
Certainly throw a few tasty bass lines in every once in a while just to...
Mess with our heads.
Yeah, just to be like, what the heck was that?
You gotta keep it fresh.
Exactly.
Tasty's relative, right.
We almost did a move tonight. Dane and I have been working on this thing where I'm going to be playing the banjo and I'm going to lean over and turn into a table so my back is flat and he's going to run at me and roll.
He's going to do the police move.
Oh, they do that?
What? No, not the police, but, like, you know when a cop rolls over the car?
Yeah. The Starsky across the hood of a car. Similar.
He's like, stay
still.
What?
You know, he tries to be first at everything.
Yeah,
right. No?
He certainly does. So we're working on a few stage moves. This was we not always get the pleasure to play on a stage this beautiful or big, usually dank bars and things like that. So this was, I thought the freedom was there. I just didn't want to, it wasn't ready yet, but
we're still working on it.
Stay tuned, yes, stay tuned stage antics.
What do you do when an audience is not feeling you?
Oh, we have the times of our lives.
We still play a great show, I think. Well,
it's more for us then at that point.
Yep, and then we say, okay, well, this is good practice or whatever. We still always play.
It becomes paid practice. And as long as it's on a 4-hour show, which certainly happens, then we don't get too miserable about it. If it's an hour-long show and people aren't enjoying it, it's just an hour. But sometimes you do 4-hour shows, random bars, and people aren't liking it. Then you literally just work on our own songs that we don't usually practice.
We had a show in just outside of Philadelphia during the hockey playoffs, and they said, well, you can play, but just you're going to have to play in between periods of the hockey game. We had booked. Yeah. So, things like that. that where it's like, okay, so certainly play the show. We honestly played a few songs before the game started and a few songs in between periods and two songs after the game ended.
Yeah.
We got paid for it. It was just, things like that happened. That was kind of the crazy.
Did you do some Carry On Wayward Son or what?
It's just like at this point, we might as well do whatever. Yeah. Just try the craziest stuff because
we did Jolene for the first time ever.
With one girl that we'd never played with before, a person we met in New Hope, Pennsylvania, came to our show the next night in Philly, and we invited her on stage, but for one of the songs that we played in between periods. It's quite the night.
What do you love about the Minnesota music scene?
Oh, it's there's so much good music. Duluth is obviously there. I live in Minneapolis, St. Paul right now, and there's not a night of the week where you can't go out and find good music. It's
amazing.
You know, it's becoming a scene where obviously we feel like we're a part of it, so we make friends.
Yeah.
And
there's a good group of, there's a lot of bands that are about our age and about our, I don't know, level or size, whatever you want to call it, and we just play around with so many of them down in Minneapolis. We lived there all of last year, and it was so much fun. I recently moved to Massachusetts, but I come back to Minneapolis, and I was just talking to Dane. I'm like, God, I don't know how many other cities we can find this great music on a Sunday and a Monday night.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, when we gig five nights a week, Sunday and Mondays be like our weekend, and there's still great music in that city. Mm-hmm. People we know, people we love, is awesome.
Yeah, and Duluth has this, everybody's helping each other out. There's like this big bluegrassy thing that's happening there. It's like this folk vibe. I think Dylan just like never died in Duluth, so it's just always, yeah, they won't let him go, and so it's, it just keeps coming back, this folky revival thing in Duluth, and everyone's just been really helpful.
I think it's had a trickle down effect throughout all Minnesota, really. To be honest, yeah, I do.
Someone actually told us, I don't remember where we were playing, but a man said, anybody from Duluth, they will give a serious thought about booking. Whereas, you know, you can, a band can come from other places and they'll just be like, ah. But yeah, but like, oh, Duluth. Yeah. Oh, you're from Duluth. Great.
Oh, we've got a couple more for you folks. So thank you for hanging out with us and dancing. We had a lot of fun last night in Minneapolis. We had people dancing and I screamed a lot. Turns out if you don't scream for a month and then you scream a lot, you lose your voice. But it's coming back. There's something in the air.
We're going to do a song about a Civil War battlefield. This is called Antietam.
trees, they killed all the flowers again, love. I got nothing to look forward to, my friend, cause history shows my words, they just ain't enough. So I look up to the sky and I find silence above, and I think about the men, the women they love, and I close my eyes and I see hundreds fall. It's washing out the scene like a smoothbore cannonball. I open them again, honey, I'm nowhere at all.
Thank you. Okay.
Do we have time for two more?
Ask the audience. Let's take a poll.
Okay, we're gonna do a dancing song for you guys. I think we're there. The song is called "Burning Down the House." It's not a Talking Heads cover. This is one that we wrote.
Cane. It wasn't too late, about 10:30, when he let loose with the catch right in. What's a Sunday? Well, that preacher there came, ring my bell, told me a little about heaven and a lot about hell. I ain't got no money for you, can I pay my way with these dancing shoes? That I was kidding. I was not. Brother, brother, what you owe me? I can't count on anymore. Coming knocking on our door. We'll be burning down the house, tear it to the ground, burn it up, tear it down, burning down the house.
Yeah, spend some time in a backwoods town, ain't nothing to do, cause there ain't nothing around. Got your sheriff ran around the block, but the streets are empty and the doors are locked. Got pretty lonely. There came, rang my bell, told me a little about heaven and a lot about hell. I ain't got no money for you, can I pay my way with these dancing shoes? I was kidding, I was not kidding.
Father, father, what you owe me? I can't count on anymore, till the angels come and knock in on our door.
Is mad and cold. You don't grow up, you just grow old. Soon it's over, so they say, but God Almighty, till that day.
We'll be burning down the house, tear it to the ground. Burn it up, tear it down, burning down the house. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Terry Tenseth with Ryan Mangone at Boats and Bluegrass 2012. We're wrapping up our interview with Saint Anyway.
It's time for Dirty Little Secret Time. You ready? Oh, yeah. I want you to dig. Oh, yeah. Guilty pleasure on your iPod or iPhone device or iDevice at any time.
We talked about this.
Rihanna.
Are you ready?
We just talked about this, and we had a disagreement about what a guilty pleasure, what constitutes a guilty pleasure.
We've had this. I listen to Rihanna. I absolutely love. I mean, because
but is it guilty though?
That's the question. The question is, do I feel bad about it? I really don't. Especially when you're playing five nights a week, you know, even sometimes more, and you're constantly surrounded by folk music. I love, you know, hearing a little Disturbia every once in a while. But I don't ever feel guilty about it. But I feel like at that point, Rihanna might be considered a guilty pleasure.
Tony's got a good answer for this.
Yeah.
You said what's on my iPhone or iPod. I have a guilty pleasure of getting obsessed with games that are on my iPhone when people are driving. That's one thing. So that happens. I'm not a gamer. Like, I don't know, Clash of the Clans is this new thing I spent hours playing. And these guys don't even know about that part in my life. Like, that's why I don't drive, because I sit in the back, I'm like level 15. But as far as music, I love Kid Rock. That's a guilty pleasure.
He's a versatile musician.
I know, and he's done a lot of things wrong, but
pleasure to like Kid
I
Rock,
think you should feel a lot of guilt.
I don't agree. I simply think that, yeah.
Well, what's yours? You have to have one.
I think a lot of things that might fall into the category I don't feel that bad about. But I do feel kind of bad about the other night. I was dancing with some of my friends in like a bar that turned into a dance party club. We're having a good time. Call Me Maybe came on.
Oh no!
I did not stop dancing.
Oh my gosh.
You wouldn't have let that happen. That had to have been in Boston.
I don't really like that song. I mean, no, yeah. I don't think I do. Though I did write a good parody.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I'm sorry. I'm like stealing the interview.
No, this, I like
this
it.
Come off.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. My husband surprised me one time. He's like, this Kesha stuff, I actually kind of like it because it's danceable. But once in a while, like, you know, you're in the car with that person that you think you're really close to.
You know.
That's why I always think it's interesting to ask, because you find a different side of things. So, interesting, guys. Interesting choices. I like it. And he listens to Kid Rock, too, so once in a while that comes on there. You know, he's different. I don't know about political choices, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go to one of his shows.
Seeing
now.
Seeing him on stage with Mitt Romney is the most disconcerting thing I've ever seen in my life. Wow.
Go good.
Way to go.
Yeah, good for you.
What's next for you guys? Just keep going?
Keep going. For this next few weeks for us is booked solid. We're doing a trip out east to New York City, Boston, and everywhere in between Pennsylvania, and then all the way up to Burlington, Vermont, mm-hmm. coming back down, and a few stops in between. So our shows are all up on our website and also Facebook, saintanyway.com. We're playing a town near you soon.
One last thing that I just thought of. If you could play any instrument and be like the best person at it, which one would it be and why?
Drums. I always in my head thought I was a great drummer, but when I sat down it just didn't translate. I could hear these crazy fills and everything in my head, but I didn't have it. So I would love to be a master at the drum set.
I think I would I kind of play harmonica, but I would love to just shred on that thing, because there are some wicked players out there, and I think that would be a lot of fun.
You did pretty well.
Yeah, you did really well.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I can. I can. Yeah, it's. But it's. There's a lot that I could do with it. It would be fun.
You get there.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. There you go. Goals.
Instantly in my head popped piano, because it's such a big, beautiful instrument, and it can. It's always going to be somewhere. You don't have to carry it around either if someone's got a piano in their house or anything like that. But I think I would just be the best at banjo. I think I would pick my own instrument.
Well, thanks for taking some time out, guys. I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
We're going to do the fastest song that we know. That's a challenge to all y'all.
We got more time than we thought we did, so we're going to do something special here.
We thought they would have kicked us off the stage by now.
Thank you.
It starts on D, C, G, right?
Sure. Okay.
Johnny went out walking, he hitched for a ride. Came across a pretty girl who took him inside. Johnny told the pretty girl that Leonard loved you so. She looked back at Johnny and said, Johnny, boy, I know. The bear looked after Johnny and told him not to go. Johnny told his little girl, all I'm taking slow. Johnny told the bear, now what about me? Johnny ran away and he scared down me. Circles around the sun till it's done. You're the one. Johnny went out one day with a shotgun by his side. So long, Johnny, it took a ride. They run off the town on his knee.
Schmer.
Darling, we all want someone. We're all afraid of tomorrow just a little. We all dance circles around the sun. We all shine a light, little darling. We all want someone. We're all afraid of tomorrow just a little. We all dance circles around the sun. Till it's done, you're the one.
Thanks for coming with us on that one. That was fun.
We were going deep. Hey, I lost my voice. Give me a break.
Super snatch.
All right. Give us more time and we'll do whatever we want. We're going to do a song called Supernatural Wine from way back in the past, circa 2010.
Supernatural is a feeling.
they can save you in the night. Supernatural left me reeling, you know I couldn't even fight. Somewhere outside of Cheyenne, beyond that borderland, ran into a preacher, pulled a special wine out, was feeling lucky, gave me quite a time on a Sunday. Maybe I was ready, boys, maybe I had bought, maybe I had given up, given all I got. Somehow when he came to me, poured another shot, I was thirsty. Ain't that the way that it goes? Sometimes, just when you save a little piece of your mind, you got to drink it supernatural wine. Yeah, don't give me no supernatural wine. Don't give me no supernatural wine. Don't give me no supernatural wine. I've had enough.
Thank you, folks. We've got one song left.
Thank you, Boats and Bluegrass. This has been absolutely fantastic. You gave us an instrument. So we hope to come back next year. It was a lot of fun. We're going to do a song you guys might know, so sing along. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year, stolen many man's soul and faith. I was there when Jesus Christ had his moments of doubt and pain. Made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Meet you, hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a town for a change. I killed a Tsar and his minister, Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank in the general's rank. The nature of my game. Get out.
A big thank you to the members of Saint Anyway and to all who made Boats and Bluegrass 2012 possible. More information on Saint Anyway can be found at www.saintanyway.com and on Facebook. More information on the music festival Boats and Bluegrass can be found at www.boatsandbluegrass.com. You've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.